Okay, we'll continue on. As we marked 35 years on July the 14th and preached a sermon, it's really from a tract I wrote many years ago and expanded upon over the years. And why we're still here, why we're still going after 35 years. And it's all by God's grace. In some ways, you know, it's by compulsion. There's some things the Lord's taught us over the years. And I think of Brother Wayne's sermon about the thorns in the bottom of the eagle's nest. And it's a little bit different application. But you know what? There's too many thorns some places that I would have to go. I wouldn't be able to endure those thorns. I'm not saying they're not good people or they're not even Christians. And maybe the Lord hadn't taught them some things yet. And he hadn't taught me some things yet, I'm sure, too. But there's things that I just couldn't endure. And we talked about those. And so of necessity, in some senses, I feel like, you know, I need to go on. And we began with a point, and I think we just got through one point of my actual sermons thus far. Last week we talked about, we continue on first because God's called us to this ministry. And I feel a personal call, but I feel the Lord's called this church to a ministry as well. And it may not seem like a large or expanded one. The Lord knows that. And he knows who we may touch and who we may reach and who they may subsequently reach someday. Those things are not my business. What my business is, like what the Lord told Ezekiel as we looked at that passage in Ezekiel 2 and verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they hear or whether they forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know there hath been a prophet among them. So the Lord calls us to this, and by his grace we seek to continue on, whether they hear, whether they forbear. The Lord's called not only me, but again, he's called his church to proclaim the gospel, the evangelion, which again is not an offer, it's not a deal, it is a proclamation of what is finished, of what is done. And those for whom it's intended, and those for whom the Holy Spirit has given life and eyes and ears and hearts, receive it. And the rest dismiss it as foolishness and a stumbling stone. So we continue because we've been called, I think, to this work. I think the Lord's called us to this place. And I say us again because I think it's not just individual. You know, we've all been called to a work. We've all been called to a place. Okay, the second point I get onto, we continue because knowing that the Lord God has called us to this ministry, we couldn't quit if we wanted to. Not that we don't sometimes want to. Not that we might not sometimes try. I remember Jeremiah, who he became discouraged and he tried to quit. The Lord told him what was going to happen, but Jeremiah somehow forgot it. You know, and they throw him in a hole and they say bad things about him and they do bad things to him. And Jeremiah just says, forget it. I quit. He said, you didn't tell me it was going to be like this. I didn't sign up for this. But yeah, he did. And I don't know that I've ever gotten quite down as low as what Jeremiah has, but I don't think I've quite experienced some of the things that Jeremiah did. But I think I could. And we read in Jeremiah 20, where Jeremiah says, Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I quit. I'm not doing this anymore. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. Jeremiah said, I tried to quit. I tried not to do it anymore, but I couldn't. I had to proclaim what the Lord had given me. And, you know, the Lord's brought us through some ups and downs. Again, maybe not as much as Jeremiah. You know, but through the years, we've had to discipline members. And in some years past, even members of my own family. That's not an easy thing to do. And most churches today don't even know what church discipline is. They haven't a clue. Not in the positive sense, and certainly not in the negative sense. It's just, you know, whatever feels good. Whatever seems good to you. Whatever seems right in your own eyes. In 1992, we lost the meeting house we had there in South Florida. And, you know, ultimately I look upon it now as a blessing. But, you know, the Lord brought us to that house through a meeting in my home, meeting in a schoolhouse, meeting in a room in a rented motel, and then to getting this little house in downtown Homestead, which had been a business, which had been a florist shop, and it was a mess, you know. And the Lord allowed us by His grace to repair the thing where you could live in it, where you could worship in it, and we had a lot of what they, I guess, call sweat equity. The Lord took it away in a day. You know, Hurricane Andrew came, and that old cracker house that had withstood all those storms through the years was gone. And then the Lord moved us up here and gave us this ministry here and this meeting house we have here. Not a great grand church, but a meeting house is where the Lord's church meets. It's where the assembly meets. And the Lord's given us a place for that. You know, we've over the years lost at various times tithing members. You know, we've been accused by some who were with us of, you know, of idolatry. We'll talk about idolatry at some point when we get back into Galatians. And I've, at times, which I guess Jeremiah was, I've at times been greatly disappointed in others. But I've never been more disappointed in anyone than myself. And sometimes, I really do, you know, I'm not just mouthing words. I wish you all had a better preacher. I wish you had a smarter preacher. I wish you had a more spiritual preacher. But the Lord's called me here. And until He fixes that, or fixes me, and He's working on it. I think of Peter, you know. Peter, that he greatly disappointed himself. Peter disappointed himself to the point that he quit, and that evidently he almost thought he had to quit. You know, shortly before the Lord's crucifixion, Peter had denied the Lord. And he was just wrung out. He said, you know what? I'll just go back to what I did before. Scriptures, Peter says, you know, I go fishing. I'm going to go back to my old life, to my old way. Sometimes, in a sense, I feel that. A little bit different sense. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I look around and, you know, I think, man, what would it be like to be retired, like a lot of people who really retire, you know, and don't do much anything except play? I thought, man, what would that be like? And but you know what? I'll get plenty of time to rest when this life's all over. But you pray for me about that, because sometimes I feel like, man, I just would like to retire. I guess I'm just kind of lazy person sometimes anyway. I don't let myself be all the time, and I do it, but But, you know, if I could, I probably would. The Lord knows those things, and maybe He'll lead in some of those ways sometimes. But in John 21:3, after Peter really had disappointed himself and was disappointed in himself, in John 21:3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. Peter, for good and bad, for positive and negative, was still a leader. He said, I go fishing, and they say unto him, we also go with thee. You're going to do, so that's what we'll do too. You know, we already did our part, and we were with the Lord while He was here, and that's kind of over now, so you're going to go back fishing. We'll go back fishing too. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So the rest joined with Peter, the leader even in the negative sense. And eventually the Lord comes along and gives them a great catch of fish. And they come to shore to eat. And that's when the Lord gets down with Peter. He says, Peter, you think you're going to quit and go fishing? John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. So he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? All these things around you, some folks think of fishing or the other apostles or the old life or whatever it was. Peter, do you love me more than all this? Anything. Do you love me more than anything, really? And that's what idolatry gets to. If we love Him, then do what He told us to do. He said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. And most of you know what's going on there, and the Lord uses the word agape, and Peter phileos, and eventually, you know, the Lord uses phileos, but the point's still the same. You know, the Lord uses that self-sacrificial love that comes from God when He first starts talking to Peter. But in any case, if you love the Lord, do what He told you to. Most of us right here, not, you know, sometimes the Lord deals with us individually and directly, but never contrary to this. But it's here. Feed my sheep. Not like, I think it was Spurgeon that talked about entertaining the goats. Spurgeon says, someday there's going to be, pulpits are going to be filled with clowns entertaining the goats. Mm-hmm. Well, you would think, well, Spurgeon was, that was a long time ago. He knew what was coming. He even saw it in his own day. Peter attempts to quit. To go fishing. To go back to the old life. But the Lord didn't let it. Just expand on these verses a little bit, because there's a section in there that touches on this. But continuing on in verse 18, after the Lord says, Peter, if you love me, do what I told you to. Peter, feed my sheep. And then the Lord kind of tells him, Peter, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying you're going to have an easy road to hoe. Verse 18, the Lord continues on. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. You did what you wanted to. Kind of like you said, I'm going to go fishing now. When you were younger, you went where you wanted to do, did what you wanted to do. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. Peter, they're going to do stuff to you. You don't want them to. Someone else is going to bind you. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Peter, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be an easy road to hoe, but follow me. Do what I told you to. And I think that's what the Lord calls us all to. Not the easy road, not the easy path. Sometimes the road and the path of conflict and danger. Continues on. Verse 19 again. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then good old Peter. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following. Peter turns around, and there's John, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is that which who is that which betrayeth thee? Peter seeth him, saith unto Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? I mean, you say all this stuff's going. What's going to happen to John? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter, what difference does that make to you? You know, we can look around to other folks, other people's ministry, to other things that other people have been called to. But the Lord called us to where we are. The Lord called us to our course, to our path, to run the course, as Paul says, that is set before us. Not the course that's set before someone else. And the Lord said, Peter, what difference does that make to you? What if I let John be here till I come back? And of course, as always, people misunderstand things, and the scripture explains that. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that disciple should not die. The Lord didn't say that. That Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if he will, that he tarry till I come. What is that to thee? You need to be careful when you're interpreting scripture and let it say what it says. Not what you think it might say or what you would like for it to say. So Peter wanted to quit, tried to quit, attempted to quit, and he quit. And the Lord called him to follow, and he followed them ultimately unto death. That's not been the course of all the saints. We don't know what course ours might be. But we pray for grace to do that. Just one other example. I won't go into details, but remember Jonah. The Lord called him to do something, and Jonah wanted to quit. And Jonah didn't want to do it. And Jonah ran away. And how did that turn out? As I say, you know, Jonah became fish food. You know. It's all in God's providence. I can't always unravel it all, and there's a purpose and a reason to it all, and the Lord uses all that to teach us and to bring us along, and it's the unraveling of His perfect decreed will. But the Lord does use those things. You know, we're not mere robots. I believe God's decreed everything that comes to pass, but it's not in the sense that we're mindless robots. The Lord makes our minds alive and makes us active and molds and shapes and leads and guides exactly and precisely as He determined before the foundation of the world. See, I can't understand that. Well, neither can I, but that's what the Lord does. And so Jonah said he was going to quit. The Lord had to work in Jonah's life a couple of times, you know. Jonah basically tried to quit more than once, and maybe some of us have been there too. But God works through all those events. And ultimately, when Jonah was inside the belly of the whale, he had time to think on these things a little bit. You know, he said, you know what? Maybe if I got out of here, I'd go do what the Lord told me to. And he did, and he wasn't really all that happy with the results that came from that. You know, that's the way we are. I'm not better than Jonah. I'm not better than Peter. We all need each other's prayers, and by the grace of God to continue on those things. And so God has called us to this ministry. And even should we want to quit, I don't think He would allow it. And third, I don't know if I'll get through this whole point, but I'll start it. I got a few minutes left. Third, as a Christian husband and father, as a Christian grandfather, as the pastor of one of the Lord's churches, I have to give an account of my own household. And over those whom the Lord's set me as an under-shepherd. I have to give an account. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, Paul writes to Timothy, and this isn't just about monetary things, though it certainly includes that, but he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, 8, if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, if denied the faith, it is worse than an infidel. So if I don't provide for my own house, for my own family, I've denied the faith. I'm worse than an infidel. And it's my obligation as a husband and a father and a grandfather to ensure that those under my charge are grounded in the faith, that they're brought up in a scriptural church. I can't control them. I can't save them. I can't open their eyes and ears and hearts. I have to trust the Lord for that. But I am called upon to provide. And so what if we close the doors? Then where would we all go to church? And it's sad, and maybe it says more about me than anybody else, but I don't know what else to say, but that, you know, I don't know where else I could go to church. Honestly, if there was one in the area, I think I would go. But there's no other church in the area I know that could meet the needs of my family and of this congregation. And there's very few that I know of anywhere. Maybe there's a few. And not that they have to be just right down the line with us on everything. But around the globe, there's but a few. There's but a handful. There's but a remnant. And so, should I get to the point that I believe God would lead us to close the doors here? I'm thinking we would be compelled to open the door somewhere else. But until such a thing should happen, I need to continue on for the sake of my own family, for the sake of the church family, if for no other reason. I don't know as the years unfold. I think somehow we're going to have to probably keep trying to go on. It might take a little bit different form. May become a little bit more informal than what we already are. I don't know. But what else are we going to do? Where else are we going to go? And we have to prepare ourselves for what's to come. And we have, as best as we can, to seek to pass on these truths to our children, to our grandchildren, to provide for our own, to seek to align our own. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, as for me and my house. He didn't say, I'm going to tell you all what you got to do, and, you know, I'm the dictator, and so he was an appointed leader, you know, but still, he said, you all do what you think you need to do, but I'm going to do what I believe I ought to do. And for me and my house, for those that the Lord's put under my charge, for my own family, we will serve the Lord. I've talked about this in the past, and a word that often comes to my mind, and a word that's very little understood or used today, that word of posterity. Posterity speaks of our offspring, those of our own house, those whom the Lord brings forth from our own families, and the duty and the obligation we have towards them. I don't hate anybody, but it's not an attitude of, well, you know, invite the world. The founders of this country were concerned about their posterity. They weren't concerned about, you know, everybody else around the world. Not that they didn't care for them or that they hated them. But they were concerned to establish a place where they could carry out their obligation before the Lord, to serve the Lord with their house and provide for their own families and those that would follow them. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance. There's another verse, the same we know over in Acts 17, again, where it talks about how the Lord appointed the bounds and the habitations. From one man, from one blood, you know, but the Lord divided them. And when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, I was reading someplace, somebody was trying to deny these simple truths here. I think it was even one of the creation ministries or whatever. But I think they're wrong. They were saying, well, they're not different races. Well, it kind of seems like the scriptures talk about that. That word nations, and through scriptures, ethnos in the Greek, and it means people, ethnics. That's where the word ethnics comes from. The Lord did that. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but they're different. When the Most High divided the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. The Lord set his bounds. He made these different. In the Old Testament, the word is ethnos primarily. In the New Testament, the Old Testament, the word is goyim, you know, Jews call Gentiles goy, You've probably come across that. It's usually a derogatory term, but the Lord's made these nations, and the Lord makes us each accountable to our people, to our posterity, to our family. And we ought to take that serious. I think about Noah. He preached to all the folks around there for 100 years. So who got on the ark? His family. He brought his family and no others. But by God's grace, he did bring his family. And it was by God's grace. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That was God's providence, God's plan. And perhaps, again, we should think on these things rather than, dwelling on numbers and results and whatever, He'd been out there preaching, Noah, how many people got saved? How many people joined the church? How big was the ark? It was exactly the size that God determined. It wasn't big enough for everybody. God didn't intend that. It was exactly the size that God determined. God didn't say, well, give everybody a chance. There weren't any chances. Noah proclaimed the truth. But the only ones that heeded were his own family. And those had been touched, obviously, by the Spirit of God. It was exactly for those whom God determined. They weren't in the ark, hanging around like marbles in a box. Marbles in a footlocker. No, God made the ark the size that it was going to be to hold those that held it, the animals and Noah's family. And think of others as well, and God's providence in that. Even those who weren't totally faithful, Lot. He moves to a raunchy city, and then he eventually gets out of there with his wife and daughters, and his wife is turned into a pillar of salt, and then his daughters commit incest with him. And one of the results of that incestuous relationship was a people called the Moabites. A Moabite? Her name was Ruth. And she was an ancestor of the Lord. How does the Lord work all that together? His mercy, His grace, His providence. But we go on because we have to provide a place for our own. For us, for our own family, for the Lord's family. I can't imagine. Like I say, it's like the thorns in the nest. I'm not saying these people aren't Christians, but I couldn't go and sit through an Easter sermon or a Christmas sermon or have up some preacher open and start reading the English Standard Version. And even some of the Arminian songs that are out there. Or even you're sitting there in the church and they start singing the blasphemous battle hymn of the Republic. The Lord's brought me somewhere. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I know that. I got a long way to go, but He's brought me someplace where I can't endure everything. All the things that go on today in so-called churches, the worship of the empire, the worship of the empire's, you know, enforcers, and all those things. And I'm far from perfect. But I do know this, that the Lord's been pleased to teach me some things, or I believe He's been pleased to teach me some things that would prevent me from just going and fitting in every place in the world. And I think there's a purpose for that. And so we continue on because we have an obligation to our own family to serve the Lord, to provide for them, not just financially, but spiritually. And so, by the grace of God, I pray that He keep us faithful. And by the grace of God, we go on. Let's take our hymnals. We'll stand and sing number 147, Near the Cross, 147. Father, we thank You for this day and the privilege to gather. Lord, we thank You for the measure of liberty we yet enjoy that allows us to do this. And Lord, we pray for grace to stand strong and right regardless of what may come our way. To stand for the truth and the right, to provide for our own. To seek, Lord, to obey Your will. To do those things You've called us to do. Lord, we know it may not always be easy, and we know we can't accomplish it in our own strength. So we pray, Lord, for Your sustaining grace, for Your strength, for Your power. Lord, and we pray that for all the brethren. for all the remnant, for all those that are yours. In this sin-cursed and declining world. Father, thank you for your everlasting love that spanned eternity, that was shed abroad upon your people before they were. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of saints and this your little flock. Lord, thank you for our families and loved ones. Work in their lives and hearts. Lord, be with those that need healing. Be with those that need comfort. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.